Happy Friday, May 9th, 2025, and welcome back to KDNK for another edition of Express Yourself. And we are happy to be joined in the studio this afternoon with some folks that are taking part in the Sage Voices Theater Project, and we'll talk to them shortly. Stay tuned. Okay, welcome back. Happy Friday, everyone. That was a nice little rain squall that just came through Carbondale on this lovely spring, almost, it feels like summer, pretty much afternoon. And there's an event coming up from Sage Voices Theater Project called The Rhythm of Reflection, an intergenerational collaboration between Sage storytellers and youth performers. The first event comes up on Friday, May 23rd, with an artist talk back. And I'm joined now in the studio with Tom and Sean and Dee Dee that are taking part in this.
Hi.
Good day.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Well, oh, thanks. Great.
Doing well.
So why don't we go around the horn here, starting with Tom, and introduce yourself and what's going on.
Hi, I'm Tom Cochran, and I'm the director of this project, and it's been fun working with these two among the others.
Yeah, I'm Sean Hamilton. I'm one of the youth performers, and I'm definitely enjoying this. It's not something I've done before, but I mean, acting, I've done acting, but this is slightly different with different age groups, and I'm enjoying it.
And I'm Dee Dee Osborne. And no, I've never done any theater before. I'm one of the Sage performers at the age of 83.
Oh, very cool. And I didn't even mention that this event takes place at the Thunder River Theater, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And this is three different dates, Friday, yes, Saturday,
that's
Sunday.
That's right.
May 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
That's it.
And so tell the listeners how you got involved with this project and what's happening.
Well, I got a call from Minsa, who is the producer, and she said, Bob Moore is working with this project, and we're looking for a director, and he recommended you. And I went, well, that was nice of him. And what is the project? And she explained it to me, and I had seen a couple of the voice project performances before, and I went, wow, that's interesting. I haven't ever done anything quite like that, but it sounds good, so let's try it. And it's been an experience. It's been a steep learning curve for me, too. It's quite different than just taking a script that you already have of a well-known play and producing it, which I did for many years. But this has been a different project of developing stories and making a script out of it and making it come alive, and it's been fun.
And where have you been making plays, Tom?
Up and down this valley, mainly. I was the head of the theater up at Colorado Mountain College for 22 years, and so I directed a lot of plays up there, but I've acted at Thunder River. I've acted at the old theater in the park in Aspen and at the old Snowmass Rep, and so I've done some work up and down the valley here. I've directed for Aspen Community Theater, and so, yeah, since I moved here in 1978, I've done a lot of theater in this valley.
And Sean, you are the grandchild
yes,
of Tom.
I am. I had it pretty easy to get involved with this. I got a call from the director, who happens to be my grandfather, and he said, "Hey, this is what this is, and I think you should do it." And I said, "Okay." And yeah, since then I've just been a part of it. It was pretty easy for me.
So you've already had experience acting?
Yeah, I do stage door summer children's theater pretty much every June. And I got to be in another play that he directed up at the college, The Book of Will. That was just in April of last year. Yeah, so I like to act. So this is not too new, but just like I said, the different age groups, it's not something that I've really experienced before in an acting setting besides The Book of Will. And it's fun.
Now, Dee Dee just said she's 83 years old, right?
Oh, and, I am.
And how old are you, Sean?
I am 14 years old.
And how long have you been doing this theater thing?
I think the first time I ever did a theatrical production of a sort is when I was 5 years
old. Wow. That is very impressive.
It was a little different because I was younger. There was not so much structure, but yeah, pretty much.
Very cool. And Dee Dee, tell us about yourself.
Well, I got involved when Mincy called me and she said, "Would you like to be involved in the Sage production?" And of course, I didn't know really what it was, but I said, "Sure." And I have never really learned to ask a few questions first, but I did see the production about 2 years ago. So I had a general idea of what was going on. And I've always enjoyed performing in different ways, but I've never done theater. So I've had to, it's a steep learning curve for me as well. It's a very, what we would call organic process, where you plant some seeds and then they sprout and then you plant some more seeds and you see where that goes. So it's very open-ended kind of a production. And so if you come at it looking for specific goals and instructions and things that you have to get done and who's going to do what, it's kind of not there. And so you have to be pretty flexible. And but basically at my age, I'm looking for ways to stretch myself. And then, you know, we always say, well, you do it until you can't. And then your question is, have I arrived at can't? I'm not, you know, it's always an open question. But it's been a lot of fun, and I always enjoy the energy of the youth around us, and we're very fortunate to have Tom's expertise and his experience as we wind our way through this.
So tell us about this program.
Wow. We started out basically just telling each other stories and trying to set a cue and a little bit of a parameter. You got this long to tell us about something you did traveling or something that was a great change in your life or something. And we started these stories around and we listened to them and we tried to get ideas of common themes that were coming out, common ideas, common experiences, both the youth and the old, and finding a way to try and connect all these things. And that's what we've done. And we've found a lot of music. And so we've had a lot of music added in. It's not just storytelling. There's songs. And most of them are original songs, the people in the show.
You play music together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And sing. And so, yeah. So it's been a real, like Dee Dee said, organic experience. And then my job is trying to put it into a shape that will interest the audience, keep their interest, and keep it going. And so
the elders are telling some of their stories
from
their long experience
right.
on Earth and telling it to the youth or with the youth?
With the youth, and sometimes the youth is acting out some of the things that they're telling us.
Oh,
and
very cool.
So, there's all different types of performances. Sometimes it's just somebody telling us a story. Sometimes it's acting out the story. Sometimes it's music playing behind the story. And so there's all kinds of expressions of storytelling that we're trying to involve.
And sometimes the youth are telling the stories as well, right?
As well, yep. Yeah.
Definitely.
And these wonderful sages get up and do some acting too, and that's fun.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we're talking with Tom and Sean and Dee Dee, who are involved in the Sage Voices Theater Project called The Rhythm of Reflection, an intergenerational collaboration between sage storytellers and youth performers. This is at the Thunder River Theater in downtown Carbondale. The first night is on Friday, May 23rd at 7 p.m. with an artist talkback. Then on Saturday, with a cast party at Beer Works. And then I guess I don't know if the youth are invited to that one. I don't know. And then on Sunday, it says there's it's at 2 p.m. and there's an ice cream social.
So, yeah, Mensa's a wonderful producer. She, I couldn't believe it. The first time we walked in, there was this tray of snacks. And I'm going, snacks? She goes, oh, yes, we always, and every rehearsal we've had snacks. And you know, it's like, wow, this
There's
is luxury.
Always snacks. I love it.
You have to keep the creatives fed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well,
Well, Mensa is quite a powerhouse with a lot of things that she brings to our community.
Right.
And that's right.
Yeah, kudos to her for helping organize this project.
Yeah.
And about how many other people are involved?
Well, I think we have 5 youth and 5 sages. Mm-hmm. And, we have a wonderful supporting cast. Tom Ward is designing a set, and I apologize, I can't remember our costume ladies.
Valentina,
yes, mm-hmm. is our costume lady. And Adelaide Moore is an incredible 15-year-old stage manager. I can't believe it. I've worked with professional stage managers, and she's right up there. She knows
terrific.
What she's doing. Yeah,
yeah, she's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's quite a cross-generational crew as well. As Valentina is, I'm not sure, 15 or 16 years old. And mm-hmm. so,
wow.
Yeah.
And Tom Ward is about my age.
Yes. Yeah. He's got a couple of years on me, I think. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I think this is just such a great idea and such a great thing that our community is doing. I would highly encourage all of the listeners to get out to Thunder River Theater in Carbondale to check this out, the Sage Voices Theater Project. And do y'all want to just leave us with any of your biggest takeaways of the connection between the elders and the youth in this project?
I think it's been really, really awesome to see how there's some common experiences from the different age groups. We're from different generations, but there's some just core experiences that can, and themes that can be found across the youth stories and the sage stories. I think it's really cool to see what we have in common and some differences between how technology has evolved and just all these, I like looking at the differences and the similarities between the stories of the different age groups.
Very cool. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, one of the first ahas for me was actually when Sean told one of his stories. And as I realized, what he learned from this story was what I've been working on for 40 years. And I'm still working on it. And so it's encouraging to me, because it was basically one of these moments where you say, if I want something, if I deserve something, I should knock on the door and ask for it. And I thought, gosh, that's hard for me, because I was raised in the 40s and 50s and women didn't ask for anything or knock on any doors either. Mm. So that's been a whole learning process. So it's encouraging when I see a younger person who's already figured this out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For me, it's just the seeing the diversity of this cast and then seeing it all come together. And how they're all willing to jump in and share the experience and share their personal experiences. Some of them very touching. Some of them very vulnerable. Some of them very hilarious. And, it's just been wonderful to see all of these things and see it start to gel into something cohesive. It's really been fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dee Dee, Sean, Tom, taking the time to come in. They will be performing at The Rhythm of Reflection, an intergenerational collaboration between Sage Storytellers and youth performers at the Thunder River Theater in Carbondale, starting on Friday, May 23rd and throughout that weekend. And you sure have filled my heart this afternoon. And thanks for just keeping this circle of energy through the youth and the elders in our community.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Yeah, good luck with the show. And we're going to go out with one from Sheyun Kuti. Thanks, y'all.
All right.
About the root, detached from your seed, that birth all your needs to grow. Breathing in the crowded air to share things you own has grown from all the seeds you sow. But we can all be tracked down by distractions giving us a pat down. We find our intentions, what puts our inner voice in suspension, traps you in a web of other people's voices,
which leaves you
focused on other people's choices, hating your own identity, maintain a feeling for your own, but to gain your serenity, a penny for your thoughts
can't be collected.
A filter for your face.
So what's respected?
The digital world has coached us to be unfocused and not perfected. Yet a woman and a man rarely mentioned. A ball court with a span of attention torn not short. As the best route to walk on the path that seems.
Come on,
blind to the BS while following the dream. We need to wean ourselves off self-degradation and learn to king and queen ourselves. Love ourselves. Don't put a fake life above ourselves. This land's the right combination.
Stand Well Well, Sheyun Kuti, that's a brand new single featuring Paz of De La Soul on the vocals with him. And we are stoked that he's playing Taka, the arts campus at Willits, tomorrow night. So once you get your Dandelion Day on and Carbondale, you could head on up valley a few miles and check out the living son of Fela Kuti, the grandfather, the godfather of Afrobeat music. And I think Sheon Kuti is, he's like my age, like 1983, 42 or about there, I think. And huge presence. His band is actually called Sheon Kuti and Egypt 80. And KDNK will be there tabling the event with some merch and membership signups and whatnot, with your very own Megan Passmore and Tracy Strode there. And I might even make an appearance just to shake my booty. So check it out, Sheon Kuti at Taka tomorrow. And next up on the Express Yourself, we have this interview with Mountain Valley Developmental Services with Megan Passmore. Stay tuned.
I'm joined in the studio by Hollis Vanderlinden, who is the garden manager of Mountain Valley Developmental Services, along with Maura Masters, who is the development director. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today. Mountain Valley Developmental Services encourages and supports individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, enhancing their ability to live, learn, and work in an independent and inclusive manner. Ladies, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Why don't we start with you, Hollis? How long have you been a part of the greenhouse team and the garden greenhouse manager?
I've been the greenhouse manager at Mountain Valley for about 3.5 years now. This is my fourth growing season here.
And do you know how long the greenhouse has been in operation?
Yes, actually, the greenhouse has been here since the 80s. So quite a while.
1984, actually.
1984.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was donated, and we had to go pick it up in pieces and move it here. And so it's been here ever since.
And who donated it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I just know it was somebody on the Front Range.
Oh, really? Was that far away?
It was in Parker.
Oh, yeah. You can edit all this.
Right? Yes.
Well, the ideal is not to edit anything, but that's okay.
I know. But I know you have to edit your intro, so you're going to be in there anyway.
I know. Oh, hopefully, yeah. You got the like unprofessional interviewer because I haven't done this in a long time. So thanks for being my test interview. So Mountain Valley Developmental Services began in 1973, and you said that the greenhouse started in 1974. What was the original, or what's the intention of the greenhouse now? Do you guys grow plants? But what? How else does it function?
So it functions as like a vocational training site for some of our individuals that are in Mountain Valley Services. So I have anywhere from 4 to 8 folks working on our greenhouse crew any given day, and they're receiving supported employment services. And they're doing, you know, all the growing. They're doing the seeding, the transplanting, fertilizing, pruning, pretty much everything from germination all the way to sales. And so folks also come out with me to the Glenwood Springs Farmers Market. We grow out veggies in the summertime for sale, lots of tomatoes, cucumbers, kale, garlic, all kinds of veggies. And we also do houseplants year-round. So we have a lot of different things going on all at once because our folks are employed year-round, and so we are growing year-round.
Hollis, tell them about the garlic, the very special garlic.
Oh, yeah.
Just learned about recently.
Yeah. We started our first garlic crop. We planted, it would have been fall 2023, and it grew really, really well. We harvested a whole bunch last summer, and it completely sold out at farmers market. We saved what we needed to replant it last fall, and it's about 2 feet tall now. So it's a really great crop for us because we can plant it during a little bit of a slower time of year. Planting it is just a great, fun process for our folks, as well as the curing of the garlic. So that's one of our favorite crops to grow.
It tastes different, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just a super strong, spicy one than what you would get in the store.
Other than what you would get at the store.
Yeah.
Sounds super yummy.
And correct me if I'm wrong, most of you, like, most of what you're growing is just like plant starts, or are you also doing stuff to production to then, you know, donate to lift up or to sell?
Yeah, the majority of our sales are annual and perennial bedding plants. So this time of year from now through June is our busiest time, and that's when we bring in most of our profits that go back into supporting the greenhouse. But then we do, at that point, then we do plant out our own tomato plants, and we do the garlic, and we do all different kinds of whatever veggies we can manage to grow each summer, so that we have some stuff to bring to the farmer's market every week all summer long. Because our folks love going to the farmer's market. It's like a huge highlight for all my employees. So,
and are you at the Glenwood Farmer's Market or other?
Yeah, we do the Glenwood Farmer's Market. Awesome. It works really well for our folks. It's in the evening time. It's cooler. We get to hang out under the bridge, listen to music. It's a good time.
So, Megan, did you know about the greenhouse here? I mean, so that's why we go to the Glenwood Farmer's Market, because mm-hmm. it's not too far away from where we actually grow.
Yeah.
Have you been here before?
I have not. I have seen advertisements. And I know about it, but I have always wanted to come by and buy plants in the beginning of the year. So, I hear that you guys have an event coming up on May 17th. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, now's your chance. Did you catch that segue? So we're having a greenhouse open house and picnic on Saturday, May 17th. It's from 11 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, and the plant sale, which will be the first one, right?
Our first Saturday sales, yep. Mm-hmm.
That starts at 9. And so we're just going to do, you know, games and drawings, have some snacks, have some light picnic food and some drinks, maybe a couple of games set up. And we're thinking about a skipping contest, which I can only think would be completely adorable.
And hoping to get a lot of kids out and families. A lot of our regular customers are families, so we do get a lot of kids coming in. They love to check out our chickens, see all the plants. So it'll be really fun.
You guys have chickens too?
We do. We have 4 elderly laying hens that lay maybe a handful of eggs a week, but we love them very much.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you can also, on that day, on the greenhouse open house and picnic, we're building these raised beds right now that are, you know, accessible, and they're being, I don't know if you say decorated or adorned with mosaic pattern. Mm-hmm. They're really beautiful. And so all sorts of volunteers have come in to work on the mosaic, you know, the people who work here, and then also volunteer some of the schools and just other volunteers. And I don't think they'll be ready for the 17th, but they'll be kind of close.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to show, we're probably like 85% of the way done with this accessibility renovation that we've done in one of the two greenhouses that we have here. It's the greenhouse that we typically grow all our tomatoes and hotter crops in the summertime. And so the beds that were in there, they just really weren't very accessible to people using any sort of mobility aids. And so we tore everything out and put in a bunch of new beds. And right now we're really just putting on finishing touches. So we're doing some mosaic around the outside of some of the beds so that it's just a really nice, beautiful place that people want to spend time in. And so, yeah, one of the things we'd love for folks to do when they come out for the picnic is to pop in there and see all the work we've been doing and see if they'd maybe want to come out and do a little mosaic. So,
Do a little. And so what, segueing again, we've just launched a capital campaign called Grow With Us. And the first phase of it is to help with the greenhouse and the greenhouse structures. And so some of the money that will be raised for the greenhouse will put in new pathways,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And shades, because it gets pretty hot in there.
Yes. Yeah. So because the greenhouse has been here since the 80s, you know, it is kind of a continuous process of keeping up with all the infrastructure and just making sure that it's all in good repair. And so we do actually have 2 really cool cooling walls, one in each of the greenhouses, that help to keep the spaces cool. But we need to raise some money to replace the cardboard paneling that helps with the evaporative cooling feature of those walls that helps the greenhouses not to get too hot in the summertime. And so that's one thing we're raising money for, as well as the accessible pathways that Maura mentioned. And so, yeah, with the folks that work in the greenhouses, it's just really important for us to keep the climate as cool as possible in the hot summer months.
And the staff.
Yes, and the staff, and the plants.
And the plants.
Of our greenhouses, the one that we've been renovating, when I was growing tomatoes in there, it would sometimes get about 120 degrees in the afternoons during the summertime, and even the hot crops would be wilting because of the heat. And so, you know, the repairs we're trying to do and the updates are really important for everybody. So,
They are important. So you should come. You should come down.
Bring the family.
You should come down and check it out. And you know, because that we're selling now. We're selling from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
And then that's every day. Every day you have the opportunity to go to Mountain Valley Developmental Services and check out their plants at their green. And it sounds like you have multiple greenhouses. What's the? Give me the landscape of the greenhouses you have.
Yeah, we have two greenhouses. I think total we have about 6,000 square feet of greenhouse space. One of the two greenhouses is heated in the wintertime, and so that's where we do all our plant cuttings and seeding for the year throughout, like, December, January, and through March and April. So that's the main greenhouse we spend most of our time in, but we do have a secondary greenhouse where then we plant into, like, all the veggies that we grow for the summertime. But once we get it all functional and everything and we get these beds filled in with soil and we're able to grow in there, my dream is to also grow some winter crops in that greenhouse so we can have something growing in there year-round and offer fresh veggies to our clients and also to the community, like, you know, cold hardy stuff, kale, spinach, things like that.
And you also grow poinsettias in the winter.
We do also grow poinsettias for the holidays. Yes, yeah. That's the only thing I buy in as cuttings. We get them as little baby rooted cuttings towards the end of the summertime, and then we take them through to sales. And I usually sell those at the Holiday Bazaar at the Glenwood Rec Center in December.
Sounds like you have quite a full schedule.
Yeah, we keep ourselves busy for sure.
So you can come down here whenever you want, you know, 9 to 3, and then, you know, you might want to beat the rush, just saying, on the 17th, but it's so lush and beautiful in there right now. It smells so good, and it looks so good, you know, verdant is the word that comes to my mind, and we're going to be, actually, we're starting, kind of starting sales next, tomorrow.
At Dandelion Day.
Yeah,
that'll be great. I think it's really looking forward to Dandelion Day. There'll be lots of great folks there, including you guys. So thanks so much for... And you'll have regular volunteers there as well, folks that are a part of Mountain Valley Developmental Services?
So we'll have a booth for the greenhouse where we'll be selling all our annual and perennial bedding plants. And then we'll also have a booth right next to the greenhouse booth for our weaving studio, which is our other, like, internal employment option for folks. And that's the Mountain Valley Weavers, which is on 8th Street, formerly known as Art on 8th. And so they'll also have a booth. And I think a couple of the weavers will be there to sell the weaving products. And then there'll be a couple of us at the greenhouse booth. So, yeah.
It's a big day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Dandelion Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is a big day.
Big day. So lots of stuff. And so, and, you know, just get people excited to come down here the following weekend to, you know, get ready for their summer garden. Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies, thanks so much. I feel like I could just talk to you for hours, and I wish we had more time, which just really means that we'll have to have you back on KD&K in the near future. I've been speaking with Maura Masters, Development Director, and Hollis van der Linden, the Garden Manager for Mountain Valley Developmental Services. And thank you, ladies, so much for your time. Make sure you stop by their booth at Dandelion Day tomorrow, as well as they are having a greenhouse
it's at our office location, which is where the greenhouse is, and that is at 700 Mount Silvers Drive in Glenwood. So you take Midland as if you're going up to Sunlight, and then you take a left as if you're going into the middle school, and we're right there in the corner.
Awesome. And the plant sales start at 9 a.m. and the picnic and other festivities, games, drawings, and snacks start at 11 to 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much. Appreciate you coming into KDNK.
Bye, Megan. Bye.
Thanks, y'all. And let's go out with another one from Sheon Kuti and Egypt 80 from their most recent album from last year called Heavier Yet, Lays the Crownless Head. And stay tuned for Chris Hassig and special guest.
All right, thank you all for tuning in to Express Yourself here on KDNK. We have a special guest here, Lillian. Let's hear, can you... You're coming here from Aspen Science Center.
Yep, I'm an educator at the Aspen Science Center.
Cool, and tell us a little bit about let's get to the point. We have a bunch of summer camps coming this summer.
Right? Yeah, we have a ton of summer camps from Aspen to Glenwood. We're doing a bunch of summer camps through the summer from middle of June to about middle of August for ages 3 to 13. So of a bunch of different topics from early STEM for preschoolers. We have robotics, rockets, girls in STEM, chemistry, crime scene science, Ice Age Explorers, pretty much anything that you could want.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. So, the Aspen Science Center, you were telling me originally was an offshoot of the Aspen Center for Physics?
Yeah. So we were started by George Stranahan in 2005 as an offshoot of the Center for Physics. And until 2020, we were kind of a traveling science center sort of based out of like a storage unit.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2020, we got a space in the Third Street Center.
Uh-huh.
But then, of course, COVID hit and everything had to shut down. And then luckily in the summer of 2021 was when we relaunched our summer camps and our library programs.
Uh-huh.
And those have continued to today and we've just kept growing.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about your journey with science and what first maybe inspired you it's a whole world of inquisitiveness and mm-hmm. curiosity, and sort of tell me about how you came to that.
Yeah, so I've always been interested in science. I've always loved like animals and nature and stuff. When I was a kid, I really wanted to go work with elephants,
uh-huh.
but that became a little less realistic as I grew up. And so in college, I studied biology and psychology, uh-huh. and then when I moved out here, I was teaching preschool, and when I saw the educator job for the Aspen Science Center open, I was so excited. I was like, this is perfect. I get to use my degree,
uh-huh.
still work with kids, and it's been so fun. It's a great job.
Yeah. And tell me, do you feel like you get to use your science and nature around here? I mean, you're applying it with students now, but mm-hmm. I guess in your personal life, how does it maybe influence how you go about being in the world?
Yeah, I think I just look at the world through a very like curious eye. It's just, there's always so many questions to ask about the world around you. And uh-huh. I feel like that's like the beauty of science, is you get to just ask why and see what's happening around you and just kind of figure out what you can figure out. Yeah. There's no like right answer usually, you know?
So maybe tell me about one particular, is there a particular camp perhaps maybe that you're involved in that you're excited to teach?
One that I'm super excited for this summer. This is the first time we're offering it, is the Ice Age Explorers. So have you heard about the Snowmass Ice Age fossil discovery?
Yeah. So if listeners aren't aware, they discovered an incredible cache of mammoths and mastodons mm-hmm. and giant sloths, right?
Yeah.
In this, when they were digging up this reservoir above Snowmass Village.
Yeah, in the Ziegler Reservoir. It was really a world-class fossil site. There's literally none like it in the whole world. It's the first one that's at that elevation from that age.
Uh-huh.
And it's super rare for that to be there because of like the glacial cycles that happened.
And erosion, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an incredible like fossil discovery. And I'm really excited to kind of take kids through that discovery and go on some hikes around Snowmass, and it'll be really
cool.
fun.
Do they have still some of the fossils? I know a lot of them got taken to the Museum of Science in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any of them returned, or is there a way to engage with like the material at all?
Yeah. I know like at Town Park Station, I think there's a few, but one of the other things that the Aspen Science Center does is we do guided tours around it. So it's just in the summer and the winter, kind of the busy season in Snowmass. But it's based out of the like Limelight. We do guided tours around the village. It's free to attend.
Mm-hmm.
It's super fun. And then we're looking at doing a, fingers crossed that we can do this, like a pop-up museum in the fall that hopefully a bunch more fossils will come back. And
scientists
who are part of the dig and everything. So.
And that would be maybe in the collective or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
we're looking for a space still, but.
Cool. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such an incredible, I remember so distinctly when that happened, and I remember many of my teachers, I think, from the Aspen Community School got to go work on the dig directly and talk about a dream come true.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's so special about it is, like, the community effort that was in it.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, God bless that original operator who understood what
Jesse
he was
Steele.
digging up. Well, that's so exciting. And so you were telling me there's a group of six of you who are at the Third Street Center,
mm-hmm.
and you've been together since 2005, right? So this is 20 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there just like 2 years or less.
Yeah.
But it's a good team. We're uh-huh. pretty close-knit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I remember George Stranahan as well being, he was a huge pyromaniac. and there was always a couple of students from the community school who were taken in under his wing to learn, you know, about blowing things up.
Yeah. We're kind of following in that lead. One of our other camps this summer is fire science.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that one's going to be here in Carbondale, and it's they're going to get to explore, like, I don't even know everything they're doing, like wildfires and how to put a fire out in a house, and
is that
a bunch of experience
concert with the fire district, or
mm-hmm. yeah, they're gonna go over to the fire station.
Cool. And that training building has incredible, you know, it's a top of the you know, state of the art training facility, so hopefully they get to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it fully in operation, but I got to tour through it before they opened it up. Anything else you want to tell us about what the Science Center is up to? You talked about this pop-up museum, so that mm-hmm. might be happening in the fall, you're saying?
Yeah. Another cool program that we're going to be doing this summer it's called Hometown Science, and it's like local scientists come and kind of have sort of a casual presentation and conversation. It's going to be over at Pollinator Chocolate.
Cool.
And it's going to be every 2 weeks in June and July.
All right. So do you know what day that is going to be? Or?
The first one's June 12th.
Okay.
I know. And then it's I think the fourth week of July and then the second and fourth week of June.
Okay. It's not like a same day of the week or anything. Or...
It's on Thursdays.
Okay. Thursdays. Mm-hmm. That's a good starting point for people to remember, maybe.
Yeah. It'll be, I think, I want to say 5 o'clock is when we're doing our six.
Cool.
But there's Pollinator Chocolate.
Yeah. And then what? What is the Science Center website if people want to?
Yeah. It's aspensciencecenter.org.
Okay. So yeah, that's a good place to figure out about, hear about, if you want to learn about all these different camps that are going on, or maybe this museum thing or the pollinator chocolate thing. That's a good place to start, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what else. We have a couple more minutes we could talk about. Maybe talk about a little bit more about the, you said, so you have some of these are scientists. Are they coming from the physics center or are they?
No, it's a bunch of local scientists. Uh-huh. The first one is actually my mom. She's a geologist in Illinois, but
oh,
she's
cool.
going to be out here teaching a geology camp.
Uh-huh.
So she's going to do the first one. And then the second one is going to be the owner of Pollinator Chocolate. He's going to talk about the science of chocolate.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Which will be really cool.
Of course, a great friend of the station, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be super cool. It's a nice time to kind of connect with the community and hear some science.
And do you all still retain a connection to the Physics Center? Or do you get to engage with that? Are there camps engaging with that? Or?
Not too much right now. We've been really busy just kind of growing our programs. This year we've grown a lot in our school-based programs. So it's definitely something that it's kind of in the back of our mind of like, oh, we should connect with them again. And we have some board members, I think, that are in common, but yeah, not too much.
Cool. Well, you know, I just think it is such an important thing to cultivate that sense of curiosity and respect for the scientific method and just that rigorous mindset is a huge, hugely important thing, I think, for kids to appreciate that. And
yeah, it's a great way to embrace curiosity and learn some critical thinking and explore.
Well, thank you so much. And Lillian, tell me, what's your name, full name again?
Yeah, my name's Lillian McIntyre.
Cool. And you're an educator with the Aspen Science Center. And once again, aspenscience.org, is that what you said?
Yeah, aspensciencecenter.org.
aspenscientecenter.org. Go check out all of the various summer camps that will be happening this summer. They're growing quite a bit, and it's a really great opportunity if you're looking for things for your kids to do. It's a great opportunity. So check that out. And I think we'll go back and play one more of these Shaun Kuti songs, and maybe one more before we get to the top of the hour and all things considered. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Express Yourself, and thanks you hugely to Lillian and everyone at the Science Center for coming on Express Yourself and all of our guests in this hour.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. All right, let's see. Let's hear. Let's hear this one. Or am I? We'll be right back.
Cheon Kuti. Don't forget, he's at Taka tomorrow night over there in Basalt, Willits, El Jebel, whatever you want to call it. Cheon Kuti and his band will be there. And hopefully we all will be out there dancing after a lovely Dandelion Day in downtown, well, at Soper's Park in Carbondale. There's a lot going on at that. I'm not sure of all of the times, but we have the events membership guy, Chris Hassig, back and here to tell us when.
Hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn, but I believe the parade is at 10, the Parade of Species. And I think that is starting off somewhere right around here at KDNK and running down Main Street to the park. And then I think there will be vendors open before that at the park. I think 9:30 they're set up pretty much and in action. So you can go over early if you want to do that stuff. And then, yeah, the parade I don't think is going to be too long of an affair. I think people will have to be aware that it's also the waste day tomorrow. So there could be a little bit of a cross-traffic snafu a little
bit.
Well,
hopefully they're not going to rain on our Dandelion Day parade. You can no. go around to Colorado.
Yeah, I would. If you're going to the waste day, I would just say go early and try to be there before 8. That was what Mark Taylor was saying. If you're not there before 8, you're kind of out of luck. Anyway,
I think the procession of the species starts at about KDNK, right? Here at about 2nd Street in Main.
Yeah.
Usually there's a few dances from the African drummers a few times down Main Street until they go into Soper's Park. And
and if you have any kind of costume, it's basically just human beings walking down the street in
if you want to call yourself a human being. You might identify with something else.
Yeah, you might. Exactly.
It's a procession of the species.
But there have been great great costumes and all kinds of species in the past. So whatever species, you could be an alien if you want to be. So,
well, let's get out there in Cypress Park and support KDNK at the Beer Garden, right?
Yeah, so then we will be sort of opening at 11, I would say really getting going at noon with the Beer Garden. And we'll just be hanging out, and we'll be right in a good spot for you to hang out inside the garden, watch the music and speakers. There's going to be some speakers and stuff. And okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Stay tuned for All Things Considered in the local news.